Bésame, bésame mucho. Each time I cling to your lips, I hear music divine. Bésame mucho. Hold me, my darling, and say that you'll always be mine. This joy is something new, my lips enfolding you. Never knew this thrill before. Whoever thought I'd be holding you close to me, whispering is you I adore. If you should leave me, each little dream would take wings and my life would be through. Bésame mucho. Love me forever and make all my dreams. Joy is something new, my lips enfolding you. Never knew this thrill before. Whoever thought I'd be holding you close to me, whispering is you I adore. Dearest one, if you should leave me, this little dream would take wings and my life would be through. Bésame mucho. Love me forever. Make all my dreams come true. Forever and make all my dreams come true.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of In Transition. My name is Randy McElligott. And boy, wasn't that a great rendition of Besame Mucho. That was vocalist Jamie Davis. He has a brand new album out called It's a Good Thing. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Jamie Davis used to sing with the Count Basie Orchestra. I'll have to look into that a little bit further. But on today's show, we have a special tribute to Jackie McLean, who passed away this past week. And more sad news from the jazz world. Percussionist Don Elias passed away this past week at the age of 66. So it hasn't been a good week in jazz, that's for sure. We also have another from the Bennett Archives, part of an interview that I did with pianist Mike Longo back in 2003, where he talks about his first experience as a jazz musician at the age of 15, and you'll never guess who he was playing with. So that's coming up a little later on in the show, but right now we're going to go to Switzerland, and we're going to listen to a pianist by the name of Al Blatter. Al Blatter has an album out called Gabla, and we're going to hear a tune called Fresh Wine.
Thank you. This is Sarah from Tegan and Sarah. I'm about to start a solo project because I've murdered Tegan. You heard it first on CHUO 89.1 FM.
That was music from Swedish sax player Fredrik Kronqvist, taken from his album Maintain, and we heard his version of the love theme from Spartacus, written by Alex North. And just before that, we heard some music from pianist Al Blatter out of Switzerland from his album Ga Bla, and we heard Fresh Wine. I'm Randy McElligott, and you're listening to In Transition on CHUO FM. And this afternoon, we're going to be featuring some music from Jackie McLean. We have a lot on the show today, actually. But we're going to go to Austria now and listen to some music from trumpet player Franz Kogelmann. And this is a tune called Blue Angel.
This is 89.1 FM.
CHUO.
Your community station.
When I say that the jazz world has lost a giant, I'm not saying that lightly. Jackie McLean was such an incredible musician. That was a tune called My Old Flame from December 3rd, 1965, featuring Jackie on alto sax. Lee Morgan was on trumpet, Harold Mayburn on piano. Herbie Lewis was on bass, and Billy Higgins was on drums. What a beautiful version of that. And you could see the way that Jackie was able to pace himself and the notes and the phrasing, and it was just simply gorgeous. We have a lot more Jackie McLean coming up a little later on in the show. I also have some music, information about him when he was born and all that stuff. I'm not sure if I'm going to get to that because I think the music is a lot more important than that. So Jackie McLean, I was corrected on this. It's pronounced McLean, not McLean, is certainly going to get featured today on this edition of In Transition. Before Jackie, we heard some music from Austrian trumpet player Franz Kogelman with Blue Angel. Now, we're going to listen to some music now from Swedish bassist Bruno Raberg. Bruno is currently instructor at the great Berklee School of Music in Boston. And a few years ago, he released an album called Presence. And we're going to listen to a tune called Procession. Thank you.
Bye. You're listening to CHUO FM 89.1.
Ottawa U's Campus Community Alternative.
Get ready for EH10.
The nation's only bilingual campus community radio station.
That was music from trumpet player Dave Douglas, a tune called The Gig. And just before that, we heard some music from bassist Bruno Raberg from his album Presence and a composition entitled Procession. Well, about 3 years ago, I had a chance to sit down and talk with pianist Mike Longo. And this was an extended interview. It was well over 3 hours long, and he talked about everything from Dizzy Gillespie to Buddy Rich, you name it. But there was one part of the interview that really fascinated me, and that's when he discussed what he did when he was only 15 years old.
Yes, Randy. My relationship with Cannonball. Cannonball wasn't famous yet. He was a band director. In Fort Lauderdale, Florida, there was a Dillard High School, and he was the band director at that high school, and I was in the 10th grade at Fort Lauderdale High School. And so my first encounter with him wasn't actually in person. It was at that time, you know, Florida was very segregated. There was a black section of town and a white section of town. And there was an African-American church. It was the only one in town. It was an old wooden structure that had no air conditioning. I mean, you know how it used to get hot in Florida in the summertime. And all they had was this big electric fan. And apparently the lady who played piano for the church service passed away. And at that time, Fort Lauderdale was sort of a burg, you know, it was like a little Navy town. It wasn't the metropolis it is now. And so the band director at my school got a call from Cannonball, because there was no pianist over where he was teaching, wanting to know if Mr. McComb, who was our band director, had any students over there that he thought could play the church service. And so Harry McComb, he said, well, we have this one kid over here, Mike Longo, who has a feel for that kind of music. So they sent me over to the church, and I recall reading out of a hymn book and playing exactly what was in the hymn book, and the minister telling me, no, jazz it up a little bit, don't just play it like it's written. And so that was my first time I ever heard of he wasn't called Cannonball at that point. It was Julian Adderley. And so when I first played with him, there was a jazz program in Fort Lauderdale late at night, from midnight to about 6 a.m. And I used to stay up late at night listening to it when my parents didn't know I was listening to the radio. And a disc jockey by the name of Leonce Picot was the jazz disc jockey. And at the time, they were having jam sessions at the youth centers, because they had a big problem with teenage drinking, alcohol problem, where a lot of people were getting killed in automobile accidents. And so they were trying to promote these programs where they'd have these sort of teenage nightclubs where they would serve, like, soft drinks. And they would have a jazz group play to create the atmosphere of a real nightclub. And so I got a call from Leonce Picot, and he asked me, which now would seem to be a very silly question, but he said, would I mind playing with a Negro musician? And so I said, of course not, man. You know, like, I play with anybody. And so when I got to the jam session, the so-called Negro musician was Cannonball Adderley. And so I can remember distinctly the first tune we played was Keenan Peachy. which was a riff built on the changes to a tune called Fine and Dandy. And as soon as Cannonball started playing a solo, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, holy cow, man, what is this? And so it was like unbelievable for me, because he played like Cannonball Adderley. He just wasn't well known yet. He was just unknown at that point. And so I went back home and I told my father, who had a club date band, about this saxophone player that I had encountered. It was like something unbelievable. So my father, his dance band was hired to play an outdoor street dance for a section of Fort Lauderdale that's called now the Gateway Shopping Center. But at the time, they were just breaking the ground for it. So they were having this, they had a bandstand built in the street, and they were having a street dedication. And so we were the band. So my dad said, well, hire him for the street dance. Now, you got to keep in mind, at this time, man, Fort Lauderdale was segregated. And so there had never in the history of that city been a mixed band. You just didn't see African-American musicians playing with Caucasian musicians. And so I called Cannonball, and he was jumped at the chance because, I mean, I think the gig paid about $70, and he was making about $70 a week as a teacher. And so I remember distinctly that night, we got up on the bandstand, and all these Floridians were looking at us like, what? Like, you know, like they had never seen anything like that. And I remember distinctly we started out and Cannonball played Stars Fell in Alabama. And my dad's jaw hit the floor. I mean, it was so gorgeous. And in about 2 seconds, the whole street filled up with people dancing. And I remember very distinctly it was one of those big full moon nights. And it was just one of those happenings, like the Cannonball melted everybody's heart, and it was just a gorgeous experience. And so then my dad started to use Cannonball on his gigs. And I think the next place we played, there was a section of town called Plantation, which is, you know, exists now, Plantation, Florida, which is west of Fort Lauderdale, but it had just been a development that had just started. And so my father had a produce company, and he was the main produce company there that serviced all the hotels and country clubs and the grocery stores and so forth. But we had moved to Plantation. We were one of the first families out there. And my dad not only had the Plantation Country Club as one of his produce customers, but he was a member, one of the first members of the club. And so they hired his band to play the a dance, one of their first dances. And so, of course, we hired Cannonball. And so I remember we played the first set, and at the end of the set, the maitre d' came over and said, we have a table set up for the band so you guys can eat. So we all went to the table, and we placed an order, and we began eating, and the maitre d' comes over, and he says, we were getting several complaints about the, well, he used the term colored boy. Imagine that, Cannonball Adderley, eating in the dining room, and they wanted Cannonball to go in the kitchen to have his dinner. And so my dad got furious, and he stood up, and he said, come on, we'll all go in the kitchen and eat. So the whole band, we were going in the kitchen, and my dad turned around, so everybody in the place heard him, too. He said, and you can take my membership and stick it up your, you know what? And so from that point on, Cannonball sort of like really had an affection for my father. And so I think the next time I encountered Cannonball was my dad was having a opening of a new warehouse, and he had a party and invited Cannonball, and Cannonball came by with his horn. We had a jam session, and he came to the party and played. And then there was a R&B band in Florida called the Harold Ferguson Band, And they were playing the Chitlin' Circuit, which was African-American clubs in the black sections of town. And the Chitlin' Circuit would have something like a singer, the chorus, dancers, the band, and a comedian. And so Cannonball wasn't the band leader of the band, but he recommended me as a pianist to Harold Ferguson, who hired me to play on that band. And so even though it was an R&B band, back then R&B, you could play jazz to it. So I can remember sitting on that bandstand. It was a plywood bandstand. The first place I played with it was called the Palms in Hollandale. And then I played another club up in West Palm Beach, which I don't remember the name of it, and several clubs in that area. I can remember sitting on that bandstand, man, and the band swinging so hard that the piano seat would be rocking up and down because the bandstand was plywood, and it was like an opportunity for me to feel that groove. And like, I mean, I was 15 years old, so I was strongly being influenced by that. And so the next encounter I had was with Cannonball. Was he? There was a place called Porky's, which is the place that the movie Porky's, the Porky's series movies, were based upon. In the movies, they had Porky. It was called Angel Beach in the movies, but actually it was Fort Lauderdale High School. That whole school, which it looks exactly like our high school, and the movie was written by someone who graduated from Fort Lauderdale High School, I believe. And when I saw the movie, I could actually recognize some of the characters, people I knew when I went to school there. And so Porky's, in the movie, they depicted him as this redneck hillbilly type guy, but actually Porky was a gangster, Porky Panico. But he happened to love jazz, and they used to have the shake dancers, you know, the dancers. It actually was a strip club. But back then, most of the jazz gigs you could get were in strip joints. And you'd have to play for the acts, and then you'd play jazz in between the shows. And so I was in the 10th grade. Cannon had a group. He had a quartet. And his piano player was a man named Pick Gordon. And Pick, they used to call him Pick because he carried a toothpick in his mouth all the time. He was a great player. He played like Bud Powell, as a matter of fact. And he was like an early inspiration for me. But I got a call one night. I was already asleep, and the phone rang at our house, and it was Cannonball. And apparently Pick didn't show up for the gig because he got busted for something. He was in jail. And so Cannonball was desperate for a piano player, so wanted to know if I would come down and play the gig. And so my parents let me go. It was like a school night, too. I went down and from 10 till about 4 in the morning. And I played the gig and then played the rest of the week out with them. And so that was a tremendous learning experience. I guess all told, I must have played at least a dozen gigs with Cannonball when I was at that age. And then one summer, he came to New York City and was an immediate success. And that's the last we saw of Cannonball in Fort Lauderdale, except I ran into him. He had come home between summer vacation to collect all his belongings because he was moving to New York. And I happened to run into him in a gas station, and we hugged, and he was saying goodbye. He was on his way to New York. And so the next time I encountered him was here in New York City. When I got here, I went to Birdland. He was playing with Miles. And I said hello to him. And it was just brief because he was on a break. But then when I joined Dizzy's group, I would run into him on the road. We were on some festivals together. And one particular festival was the Laurel Jazz Festival. And my parents had come up. And my mom and dad were at the festival, and Dizzy had them. There was no seat, so Dizzy had my mom and dad sit up on the stage with us. And so when Cannonball saw my father, he came over and hugged him. Boy, he was so happy to see him. And it was like this was at least 20 years, 10 years, 15 years later. And so that was the Cannonball Adderley story. But I was never a member of his group after he became famous. At that point, I was with Dizzy. But it was to have played with that and to know what it felt like to comp behind Cannonball and to feel that groove at the age of 15 was extremely significant in the direction my life took.
Thank you. CHUO Nubulgatsky, your community radio station that goes beyond borders.
Well, that last set, I have to tell you, was very informative. We just heard a tune from a group called Composers Big Fun. We heard a composition called Var Ar Dunu. And just before that, some comments from pianist Mike Longo on his early experiences with Cannonball Adderley when Mike was only 15. And we also had some music from Cannonball Adderley thrown in there as well, a little Limehouse Blues. I'm Randy McElligott, and you're listening to In Transition on CHUO-FM. Well, it's that time in the show where we're going to dig deep into the Bennett archives and listen to some music from Gordon Bennett.
Now we're going to New Orleans for the traditional sound of the Jacques Côté Creole Rice Jazz Band. Jacques Côté was a master chef in Paris, emigrated to the United States, became a super chef in New Orleans, but jazz was in his blood, and he started playing with the Mahogany Hall Jazz Band. After a short while, he formed his own band. And here it is, based with two cornets, I may add, based on the sort of King Oliver tradition and also the Luwatis tradition. So we have Charlie Fadella and Eddie Bayard on trumpets, cornets, Tom Hébert on trombone, Steve Pastorius, a very fine piano player, and then Tom Saunders, who was on tuba. He is related to Tommy Saunders, who is a great friend, or was a great friend of Wild Bill Davidson. Tom Saunders plays tuba, and he has a radio show in New Orleans, and we're about to contact him in the near future. Kenny Hall is on drums. He's recorded in 1987 in New Orleans. The first tune I dedicate to Ben, who always loved to play this tune when we had the Capital City Jazz Band rolling along. It's King Oliver's Chattanooga Stamp. Then we hear Louis Armstrong's Gut Bucket Blues. And the third cut is Oriental Man, written by Chicago pianist Jimmy Blythe. the great Jacques Côté and his Creole Rice Jazz Band, or, if you like, Creole Rice Yerba Buena Jazz Band. Recorded in New Orleans in 1987, and very fine stuff. You may have noticed the banjo introduction to the second cut. That was played by Amy Sharp, one of the few lady banjo players I know, and she's great. So the personnel is Gauthier on clarinet, and he's the leader. First cornet, Charlie Fadella. Eddie Bayard, second cornet. Tom Abbott, trombone. Steve Pistorius, piano. Amy Sharp on the banjo. Tommy Saunders playing wonderful tuba. And Kenny Hall on the drums. The notes to this little production were written by Lou Waters from San Francisco, and he says, "The only thing that puzzles me is why everyone calls Jacques Côté the crazy Frenchman. Maybe it's because he traveled all the way from France to New Orleans to preside as an executive chef at a famous restaurant. Then, in a fit of madness, threw off his chef's toque, grabbed a clarinet, and forgot all about cooking dishes such as croquette de Honard à la Victoria. In any event," says Lou Waters, "God bless him and all the members of this down-to-earth stomping band." And I agree. Couldn't agree more.
Thank you, Gordon. That was a great segment there of traditional music featuring Jacques Côté, a beautiful, beautiful musician. We're going to get back now to some music from Jackie McLean. We're going to hear a tune called The Bullfrog. But before that, I just want to mention that Jackie was born John Lenwood McLean in Harlem on May 17, 1931. He was the son of a jazz guitarist. He began studying sax at the age of 14, starting on soprano but switching to alto after only a few months. Now, Bud Powell, who was a leading pianist of the bebop movement, took Jackie under his wing, and he also worked with the tenor saxophone great Sonny Rollins. He soon caught the attention of Miles Davis, who was just beginning his career as a band leader. Now, Davis used Jackie and Sonny as sidemen on one of his first recordings back in 1951. I don't want to ramble on any more about his life or anything. I think we should focus on the music here because that, I think, is what's most important. We're going to listen to a tune called The Bullfrog, and this is from April 18th, 1966. Jackie's on alto sax, Larry Willis on piano, Don Moore on bass, and a young Jack Dejanet is on drums. Thank you.
Deutsches aus Ottawa, the weekly German show with your host, Oswin Lowern. Deutsches aus Ottawa is light musical entertainment with highlights from the event calendar, Fußball Bundesliga results, and interesting tidbits of useless information. That's the German show, Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m.
Thank you.
Music from Jackie McLean and Bill Hardman in a tune called Sub Blues. And then just before that, we heard some Jackie McLean again from his sessions recorded for Blue Note back in 1966 in a tune called The Bullfrog. You're listening to In Transition. My name is Randy McElligott. And in the remaining minutes, we're going to try and squeeze in as much jazz as we can. We're going to start off with a guitarist who lives in Maine, a beautiful sounding guitarist by the name of Mark Kleinhott. He has a new album out called Holding the Center, and we're going to listen to a tune called Green Tea. Thank you. about just about wraps things up for another edition of In Transition. My name is Randy McElligott. In that last set, we heard two tunes from Jackie McLean from 1964 when he was recording for the Blue Note label. We heard I Hear a Rhapsody and Das Dat. And before that, we heard some great music from bassist Christian Fabian from his brand new album Across the Tracks and his version of Confirmation. And we started off the set with guitarist Mark Kleinhardt from his album Holding the Center and a tune called Green Tea. My name is Randy McElligott. I'll be back next week with another edition of In Transition. Until then, have a great week. And don't forget, coming up at the top of the hour, the Ethiopian show until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And at 3 o'clock, Aussie with German news, music and commentary until 5 p.m. Bye for now.